Welcome back to another episode of He's a Guy podcast with the gentleman today, you know. Remember to like, comment, subscribe. You guys have been doing a great, great job. I just want to let you guys know. But yeah, continue doing that for us, please. We really, really appreciate it. Let us know. DM us. Let us know what you guys would like us to talk about further, if there's anything that's been on your guys' mind. Today, we got a serious, serious one. And I feel like it's something that's not really spoken about amongst us men too often on the side that we're speaking about it. We just kind of, you know, we kind of move along with it kind of toxically. Hypersexualization of men. You know, just for anybody in the room, we all kind of understanding what that is.
How about you give us a definition?
Definition?
But before you go to the textbook one, in your mind, how would you define it? Like off the top of your head?
Something that would be hypersexualizing anyone would be just to hyper focus on creating a sexual image of somebody, or like whether it's a man or a woman, and that being the main focus. So whatever they're doing, whatever they're being driven by, whatever they are involved with, the reason they're there is the image that we place upon them, and it's usually sexual. So whether it's muscles,
nice smile, nice face,
you know, whatever. Anything that it capitulates their physicality more so than the things that, or the qualities that have to do with their personality. So that would be my definition of hypersexualization. How about you guys? Anybody?
Yeah, I think I would have went the same route. I would have just said, like, when you're, even something as simple as like your appearance becomes the focus, or the even like being objectified. Mm-hmm. Like you're just seen as dick. Piece of meat for real. Or a piece of meat. You know what I mean? Because it's interesting when you brought up this topic, I was like, damn, we never hear anybody talk about this. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. But I think that's what comes to my mind. But I don't know who else has definitions that they want to.
I think you guys captured it. With your definition, for sure.
Let's have it on a tee. Let's get it rolling.
All right, so the actual definition that I have here is hypersexualization refers to the process or phenomenon in which individuals, particularly women and marginalized groups, are excessively sexualized or portrayed in a way that emphasizes sexual characteristics or behavior to an extreme degree. So, yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
But before we go around, I think we missed a step. I want to kind of check in with you guys, how you guys are doing today. This is about to get a serious topic, and I know
you want
to
check everybody's mental before you know, get too serious,
too crazy. I want to make sure that everybody, you know, be kind of dialed in and let's be present, you know. So, Dion, kind of look a little dazed, but holla at me.
It's been a day. I feel dazed.
Yeah,
but I'm happy to be here. Highlight of. Actually, we have some other highlights for the week, but this is one of the highlights of the week. Getting ready to go on vacation, man. Super excited for that, to be with the guys. Wish you were coming, brother, but another topic for another day. Yeah, my day was kind of rough today. I don't like that to be the tone that was set for the week, but you know, there's so many things to look forward to, and you know, again, we're here. Have a good pod.
That's right, man. Yeah, I kicked this day off for the start of the week. I was kind of slow into it. I woke up kind of feeling meh, groggy, whatever the case. I woke up around like 11. That's not customary for me. Yeah, it took me a while to peel myself out of bed and then go to the gym. But, you know, I mean, as the day moved on, it got better and better for me. So I think that I just need that kickstart, that kick jump to my day. That's what. Otherwise, yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Terrell?
If I had to give it a number, it was a solid 8. My day wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but, you know, it was a day. I had a long weekend. Mm-hmm. So my son had OBAs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of yelling was going on. I lost my voice. And then on Sunday, you know, had no energy, but, you know, we had a men's league game. glad you guys showed up because I did it. you know, when Russell Westbrook played Pat Bev's tricking everybody just running up and down. That's what I was doing. I was just talking. Tashawn's bullying everybody. I'm looking at man saying, hit the weight room. That's you guys can't shoot like him. You guys can't cook my brown boys, Jazz. Like, you know, I was talking mad shit. Like, you know, that's what I was doing to make it seem like I was doing something. But I was doing nothing, just running up and down. You know, one time I got burnt. Tashawn's like, Freck, I said he's going right. I know. My legs wouldn't move. You know what I mean?
I got nothing today.
You know, and then came home from work. You know, my son said he wanted to go to the gym right after his OBA weekend. So we went, you know.
Gym rat.
You went to the gym after our game?
No.
Today.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Gym rat.
Yeah, you know, he went to the gym. We did some ball hand and left hand stuff. You know, he's getting frustrated. But I'm telling him, like, you know, when you get it all together, mm-hmm. it's going to be much easier. You know, he can't keep going right. Right? When they realize that, they just stand on the right side and wait for the kids. But. You know, solid day, and now I'm here with you guys, so can't complain.
Come on now. T?
Come on.
Today was average. Mm. Like, wasn't great, wasn't bad. I'll give it like a 6.
Okay.
Wasn't great, wasn't bad. I went to yoga this morning because usually after basketball, I can't walk. Went to yoga, but the yoga teacher was a little shaky this morning. Like,
what'd that mean?
She would explain to do something, but you couldn't see what she was doing, so it's like everybody's looking like, huh, like put the left leg behind this and then put your knee over here and you're like, wait, left or right? And then you see right. Like, it was just mad confusing. So it was like, I didn't get the stretch I wanted to, and then it carried into my work. You know when you have the workout where it's like sluggish, you're on your phone, mm-hmm. you're taking like 5 minutes between sets, you're like, which set am I on? It was like one of those workouts, but I still got through it. And then this afternoon, it started to get good and I checked my bank account. And then... So I'm scratching my head, being like, "Where'd the money go?" Like it was one of those days. You start trying to like figure it out, checking bills. It's the beginning of the month, so a lot of bills coming out. So it was just like one of those days where I was like, "Damn,
yeah,
I really gotta pay attention." Netflix is $23. Like, when did that happen?
Don't forget the 99. $23, it's $24. High yield.
Yeah. So right. The day overall was good. Like, I got a lot done. And even like just like starting to like even reach out to venues for our live podcast event mm-hmm. in June.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's Patty on me. But yeah, today was a good day. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't good, it wasn't bad. It was,
I hear that.
Made it through. But I'm here. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited about this topic.
Yeah, man. This topic is like I said earlier, this is a topic that you kind of never hear about be on this side of it. It's always something that we just toxically deal with. You know, you guys ever hear that question when someone talks to you about a girl and like, did you hit yet? That's one of those questions that we talk about, right? Where instead of it's like, yo, asking each other like, yo, do you really like her? You know, how does she make you feel? We don't ask those questions. Like, did you hit yet? That's the first thing we go to, which is insane. So it's kind of like along the streamline of that and trying to break all that down on that side of breaking that toxic side of it. So to start, how do you guys think media portrays, how do you guys feel media portrayals of masculinity contribute to the hypersexualization of men?
Well, the media controls the narrative, right? So like, you watch all these TV shows, you watch all these movies, and you see an image of a guy and like, you know, you see the women flaunting all, like he's a guy, mm-hmm. see the women flaunting all over him. And then being a gentleman in this lifetime, you know what I mean? You're looking at it and you're like, is this who I want to be? Is like, hold on, let's start this again. ask a question again and then I'll go. Sorry, my bad.
How does media portrayals of masculinity contribute to the hypersexualization of men? I agree with you.
You were doing good. You're on the right track. I don't know why you stopped.
I don't know.
Like you were saying, like, what? When media portrays...
Yeah, there's a certain type of...
The hunky guy without a shirt. Like, you're thinking, oh, I got to get jacked like that, you know, to get all the women like that.
But I don't feel like that's hypersexualization, though.
That absolutely is.
Okay, all right.
You're on a good track.
Okay, the reason why I tell you that it is because they are creating the archetype of what media portrays as the man, the guy, like he's a guy, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's now, it might be imprinted on the viewers, not everybody, but maybe majority to be like, yo, whatever he has and whatever he may get out of that or whatever he looks like, that might be the prototype that we need to follow under. And it's mirrored in a lot of things, right? When you look at any Gladiator movie from back in the day, when you look at any, even if he doesn't have a shirt off, right? You see somebody custom suit, like we're watching like a casino, for example, or somebody's in a clean cut suit, same thing. A person might be cut differently, whatever, whatever, but you can see the suit shaped to this cut masculine body. So like it's always brought to that attention. You never really see a rotund or different type of body shape. You see what I'm saying? And that's not, even if you do, it's not mass produced amongst all these medias. It's not mass produced on the front of magazines. It's not produced when it comes to health. Like there's different body types when it comes to health. So to say one's not healthy, but one is, you know what I mean? That's exactly what I think hypersexualization is, you know? But yeah, how do you guys feel otherwise media is?
I would agree. Like when you go into the media and you see the definition of the ideal man, yeah, he's big, strong, tall, sometimes light skin. Not more chestnut though. But it's always like this big, strong, tall, muscular guy. And he's the one that gets everything. Everything works out for that guy. You know what I mean? Whether it's Fresh Prince, whether it's something funny like that, whether it's something serious, like you give like the Gladiator examples, it's always somebody who's big and strong. So it's like the hypersexualization of men is not always talked about, but it's definitely a real thing. Right. And then like even it creates sometimes even pressure for us to feel like we have to live up to that standard.
Absolutely.
Like there is a beauty standard for men. We were even talking about it before the podcast started, even like men balding. Balding is not a good feeling.
Yeah.
Like even my beard was patchy. I went to Turkey to fix that, put some hair in. Like to think you're going bald. We don't talk about that. Right. Yeah. Because it's like you feel like you're going bald. You can't get women. You have no value in this world. Everyone's going to make jokes about you. You're going to wear a hat for the rest of your life. It's not a good feeling. So it's like when we see the image of the ideal man, it is an image of a big, strong, full head of hair type of guy. And what does that do for men? I believe it puts pressure on men to be that.
Absolutely.
I never looked at it like any of you guys are looking at it. I'm just like listening to everybody speak now. And I'm like, oh, damn, we've been used. you know what I'm saying? Because like when you think about it, you go through the day. You're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, that guy's lost some money. What did he do? I want to get that. Or that guy has his muscle. Like even little thing as on the protein bottles. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
bro.
You know, they're not going to show nobody out of shape. They're going to show you what you can do to get into shape by drinking this. When not just drinking this, you still got to work out. You know what I mean? But like, I'm listening to all you guys talk and I was like, I never noticed this. So I'm like, you know, now I'm like learning and have my eyes open. I was blinded to this.
Low key.
So, you know, so now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's why this is kind of important, right? Now the next question I have is, in what ways do you guys think social expectations around male appearance and physicality influence even the young men of today's society? Like, how do they view themselves? I know when I saw, like, as a young guy myself at a time, I used to look at things like, oh, you can't do certain things, you're not a man. You can't do this, you can't ride a bike, you can't lift this, you can't jump high. All these type of physicality things that they will show you to do or show you that you have to be this, that's exactly what I thought would be like, oh, damn, like, you know? So that might not totally lend into the hypersexual part of it, but then it gets to a part where I've even gone through things as a kid where it's like, for example, I have an older sister. She has friends that would come around and be like, oh, this is my boyfriend. And she'd be talking about me. I'm young. I'd be like, all right, cool. I get girls now. Like, oh, you guys don't have girls like me. But it's like, you're taking that innocence away from a child in a sense, right? He's just a kid. What does he know about having girlfriends or getting kisses on the cheek or any of those type of things, right? So that's more or less what I would experience or type of things that influenced me onto now what would be what a man would be. You know what I mean? And I'm 8, 7.
And you recall the boyfriend already?
Bro, it'd be a joke to them, but to me, I'd be like, all right. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so, locked
you know,
in.
It's cute. Like,
well, you know, when you
I go outside ready to ride my bike, like, yeah, I got a girl inside.
I can double ride bike ride you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, hop in my bike, bro. I can double you. All them type of things. You know what I'm saying? So But yeah, back to the question. In what ways do social expectations around male appearance and physicality influence how men or even young men view themselves?
I think it's like we even create this image of like body dysmorphia. Like when we were younger, if anybody didn't look like us and we were playing sports like 24/7, if anybody looked, we're like, ah, that guy's fat. You know what I mean? And like looking back on it now, like if we ever said that to kids, not saying that we did or whatever, but you know what I mean? They weren't as active as us, mm-hmm. but that didn't mean that they weren't in shape or whatever the case is. They just didn't look like us. And again, we looked up to like basketball players and they looked a certain way and we looked like that. So we're like, okay, you know, we're living up to the kind of the standard or whatever. And when you see these other kids and they weren't, just you kind of, I don't say bully them, but you just kind of judge them and you're like, oh, these people don't take care of themselves. And it could be a hard thing to come out of, especially as a kid. You know what I mean? You don't know, have no direction. And them looking at somebody that has a stature or physique, they're probably like, man, like I'll never look like that. And yeah, I could only imagine the traumas and things that could come out of that.
Because I have sisters, I can even go off of that body dysmorphia thing. When you played with, I had action figures like Batman, Spider-Man, this toy that used to be called Max Steel. That was a show I used to watch as a kid. You'd have the action figures. They're all six-pack abbed out, chest, muscles.
Eight-pack.
You know what I'm saying? Or my sisters would have, like, obviously Barbie and then Ken. Ken is short shorts, no T-shirt or a tank top or, you know what I mean? He'd be muscular though. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, cool. Even my dad would be like, yo, show me your abs. And I'd have to flex and do all, you know what I mean? Do all this type of stuff to show, like, you know, I have some type of strength there already, but I'm only, like, a certain age. That's not something that, you know, I think socially, that's something that we should be giving out to our kids to be, you know, trying to understand at such an age, because then that creates an image, like you were saying, mm-hmm. for them to be like, well, if I don't have this, am I down the right path of the journey of being a man? Is that even something you should be worried about as a kid?
No.
You know what I mean? And that's exactly what I mean.
For what you're saying, like two things come up for me. Like one thing is like when we don't focus on the physical appearance, but I'll start with the physical appearance thing. Mm-hmm. One thing that comes up to mind when we talk about this is that the mentality of if I just get D's, everything will be all right. And I think what happens is, like, as men, we can have that mentality is I'm not going to work on myself mm-hmm. mentally in any other way. I'm just going to go to the gym and get D's because that's where all my problems will be solved. If I have muscles, all the girls will like me. That's all I need. Now, playing into that, now to the where the all the girls will like me came from, is I feel like our whole lives, we've been socialized to have multiple women.
Yeah.
Like no matter where we, like when I think of just growing up, even being like 4 or 5 years old, oh, look at how many girlfriends he has. How much girlfriends you have? And it's like all your life, you're just taught to have multiple women. You're in the barbershop, 8 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much baby money you have?
Yeah. How much burners? Yeah, all that, brother.
I'm eight, brother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like for a lot of our lives, it wasn't even just about appearance. It's also like, as a man, and I don't know if this is exclusive to black men because I didn't grow up around like a lot of like young white men, but I know like with us, I felt like it was grilled into us that how many women you have determines your self-worth. The more women you have, the more of a man you are. Mm-hmm. That to me is like, is that hypersexualization? I think so.
Yeah, it's toxic, bro, to be honest. That's not something that we should be even projecting. You know what I mean? Again, I started off the podcast by asking you guys, you ever heard that? When somebody says, yo, talk about your girl or the girl that you're with or whatever, or girl that you're into. What, did you hit that? That's one of the first questions that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Not about how she makes you feel.
I think that comes after.
Exactly, it's secondary. It's like, oh, you didn't hit that. Well, okay, what do you?
Why doing? Not?
Yeah, like, it's now it's like something's wrong now. There's nothing wrong. It's just we didn't get there. Like, you know what I mean?
Her, I'm taking my time. What, exactly. Can I get to know each other? Something. Yo, big man, did you hit it?
Yes or no?
Yeah, like
we talk. If you didn't hit it, you wasted time.
And that causes what? Men to lie. How much men lie? You know, like high school, that was a thing to do.
Lie or keep seeing her till you hit it.
Exactly.
And that would be like a whole, I'm going to go on 30 dates.
Yep.
So this could work
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Now you're tricking the girl thinking you actually like her. Now I'm just doing this time hitting, baby. I'm here. And then once I hear this, it's over. Now I got one. Never mind to the next one. You know what I mean? So it made it really tough.
What's interesting, just to add to that point, is like, imagine like our whole lives were programmed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we're expected to switch out of that. That can't.
Not easy.
I don't know if any of you guys can speak to that because you guys are now like in that marriage stage, but like, was it hard for you guys to get out of that, expected to have all these women to like, okay, now I have one.
Love and respect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, again, like playing sports and all that stuff here, like you said, everybody's like, oh yeah, he's the guy. He's the athlete in the city. Like, you know, he talks to all the girls. And so when you kind of find somebody that's intrigues you in a different way, I guess. It definitely makes it hard because it's like, yo, you live one life and then you're just, it's like completely shut off after when you're starting another one. So it definitely makes it difficult. And again, people kind of bringing you, like we talk about all the time, like people bringing you back to, oh, you're the gallus, you're this. It definitely makes it harder because it's like, yo, you just feel that constant pull where people are trying to pull you. But I guess it's just kind of staying the course and just, you know, yeah. Realizing that this is the one. Or
Brett, can you kind of speak to that?
No comment.
I like when you do that, bro. Okay. Now, not to compare, but to kind of contrast, do you guys think that the objectification of men differ to the objectification of women? That's the first part of that question.
Is it difference?
Not to compare, but to contrast. Like, what can we draw differently, you know?
It's different in the sense that the objectification of women is more normalized, where it's like we see it more, so we're less sensitive to it. That's one side of it. But on the other hand, it's... when it is identical, like when people see it, it's more problematic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you were working with a woman and then you came on to her and she was like, oh, I actually don't want, it would be like a really...
I was going
to
say that. I think that's now in reverse too.
It'd be a really big deal.
Yeah. So what you said about being sensitive to it or not as sensitive to it, whatever the case is, and now you flip it when it does become now brought up where it's now, yeah, we are a lot. We are really, really sensitive and problematic to it when it's become... pointed out, whereas to the man now it's like even Freck said, we're not sensitive to it because it's never really talked about. You know what I mean?
It's not like if I was to be at work, for example, if I was working a job and like this girl keeps trying to talk to me,
mm-hmm.
but she keeps calling me, she keeps texting me.
Yeah, brush it off.
They would laugh.
Yeah,
like when I was bartending, the things I would deal with from women, like grabbing my penis, touching my face, grabbing me up. A man could never.
Imagine, but we tell you, your brother, grow up.
You know what I mean? But if I complained about it, if I went to security, be like, you're not going to touch my penis.
Man to end?
Man, have fun tonight, man.
Telling me for? What are you,
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here, bro? As long as she wants you.
Yeah, you didn't leave with her? No, brother.
Not comfortable. Mm.
No, I'm not comfortable with that. Yeah. But it's not something like that's really... So if I was to contrast it, it does happen to men. I think it happens to men less. But for that reason, people don't take it as serious.
Yeah.
Right? It's not serious when I'm sexually harassed by a woman. But it is serious if a man sexually harassed... But they're both wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, even, I think I look at two things. One, T talked about it with sexual harassment, anything like that. Also, even just sex on the whole. I lost my virginity to something that was ordered to me. That, to me, was just like, you know, if you hear that now in reverse, it'd be a little bit more, we proceed with caution because, like, if they're too old, were you coerced into it? Were you, like, any of these different types of situations? But for me, it's like, you lost virginity and it was to someone older? Tell me right now. You know what I'm saying?
I was waiting for that. I was going to heal you.
Yeah. But because it's one of those things that's just, you know, tossed out there as a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, damn, I don't even know if I was taken advantage of. I didn't look at it like that.
When you think about it now, were you?
I have no idea. Because at the same time, like I said, we kind of been programmed to the idea of, yo, that's what should we do. That's what should be going on. You know what I mean? So I might, in a way, sure, I can say I might have been. But at the same time, on the flip side, I can't fully blame her. Because I said, I could have told myself also that I wanted to be there. Because of outside factors. Maybe it's not something that I may have wanted at that time for me. If those outside factors didn't influence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the situation for me where I could look at that and I'll be like, hmm. And now I have to go and break that down. But I'm 33 now. Lost virginity at 15.
Boom, boy.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like,
you're moving.
I'm grooving. You know, like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, going back to these type of different things, it's just like, damn. You know what I mean? So for a man, you know, some people might see this episode and be like, I don't even know what you're complaining about, my nigga. What are you talking about? That sounds lit. 15 is like grade 10. You're good, dog. What are you talking about? You got your feet wet? Must be a guy at school. I don't know if that's something I wanted for real. You know? So.
You're right. What were you going
to
say?
I can, like, to add to that, like, I lost my virginity pretty young, too.
How old were you?
14. Oh, my. 14 when I lost my virginity. And, I can say I wanted it, mm-hmm. but again, just all the concepts that we're talking about, I think that the idea was drilled into my head. Like, all these influences where people are like, oh, you have all these girlfriends. You never did it yet? Come on, big man. Like, you know, even the guys in my neighborhood just like, yo, nah, you got to get that. So it was just drilled into my head. Not to say that I would have done anything at the time, but like, it was more so a hunt. And again, women don't go through that. Yeah. So I think that, like, when you're asking about is it different, it definitely is different in its own way. But yeah, it's one of those things that we go through as men.
Yeah, absolutely.
The agenda's pushed on us.
Yeah, like I even think of like me, like when I was 16, I remember like, I think this happened on a couple occasions. Like I had sex with two women in like their early 20s, 22. I'm talking, and it's like. Yeah, if we flip that in reverse.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But for it to be this way, it's kind of like, at the time, I'm like, I'm a guy.
Hey, bro.
She's grown? I'm a guy. But like, we don't even play into like, how could that potentially affect me down the road? Like, is that something that I really would have wanted if I didn't place so much value on that being part of my identity, part of who I am, is to have women.
Yo, we do that now, ironically. If you think about it, like going back to coming to the media stuff, we look at like a situation like Drea and Jalen Green, right? We look at that. Some of the men, we're not really complaining. We say, yo, Jalen Green, 22, that's some change. Drea, 22, that's some change. Drea's one of the badder ones that we, like, most men, you know, look at and be like, yo, something serious right there. No bad at us, well, you can bag an older one. Bless. But then women be like, yo, that's predatory, different thing. But we don't look at it like that all the time.
I think there's more to that because the story behind that, it's kind of different where, like, what, she was like his babysitter or something like that? Mm-hmm. So that's where it gets a little.
But why is that different?
Hold on, Drea was who?
Jalen Green's
babysitter.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, but so, let's lean into that, though. Why is it different?
Because, like, to me, now you're like a predator. Because
on her side?
Yes, because it's like. Like Tashawn said, the roles were reversed.
Absolutely.
There's no way media or anybody would have, like, they would go for this.
Absolutely.
Right? But because now, like you said, it, you know, batter one, he's got some change, and he's not complaining about it, or he's not saying anything, but, you know, how do you know what he really feels like inside?
Okay. So, I challenge that with this, though. The same thing that we were just talking about, of the pressures of outside influences or whatever, could be like to him growing up and whatever age he babysitted her, he could always had a crush on what that older woman looked like. And now he finally gets to accomplish that when he gets older.
Yeah, but then I just think different. I'm like, she could have been planting seeds.
She could have.
You get what I'm saying? So like she could have been brainwashing the man to actually believe, like.
Circle back when you're older.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like you said, you don't know if that's what you really wanted.
No, I agree.
But because
That's what I'm saying. That's all outside.
You know what I mean? So I just see it different.
No, I think that all plays into the under the same umbrella, to be honest.
I think what Freck is trying to, like, what he's also saying is, like, when there's a power dynamic, mm-hmm. that's where it's messy. When someone's in power of you, and then now...
there's influence.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like a teacher, your high school teacher. You know what I mean? And then as soon as you graduate from high school...
Yo, how many stories come out like that now?
All the time.
Where we look at that and say, damn, where was I in high school? Where was that teacher when I was in high school? Like, I had some bad teachers. Was there.
But she was there. It's just that, you know, she probably lost your contact, big man.
But I'm saying, though, those are the type of things. Why don't we look at that in reverse now as a power dynamic and say, you know, that's wrong? Men will look at that and be like, there's nothing wrong, bro. You got to see the attractive teacher knocking that down. It's a badge. You know? What's going on, guys? This episode is brought to you in part by .com Barber and Hair Services. Celebrity barber, regular day barber, we got what you need. We'll even come to you. Follow us at .com on Instagram. But yeah, to further move, how do you guys think these impact young men's understanding of consent and healthy relationships?
When you say, like, how does what impact or
all of what we've spoken to up until this point?
It's interesting. Like, when it comes to the consent thing, it's hard for me to speak on all men because some men don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Some men don't understand
the idea of consent.
And that's what I'm asking. So the impact of all of these things, how do you think it impacts there?
I can't, like what I was saying, I can't answer on a whole scale and be like, because of what we see in the media, men now are more likely to ask for consent. Or because not. I can't say one way or the other, because like I see certain things, I'm like, I don't want to be in a situation ever like that. I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want no one to, I don't want anything I'm doing to either hurt anybody or be taken the wrong way. So I'm always very like clear up front.
Yeah.
It's very obvious. There's no like, no one could say I ever like forced myself onto them or I did like, that's not my energy. That's not my behavior. I'm not on, but there's men who do that. Yeah. So it's like, can I say like the things in the media are
forcing them to do that?
Or stopping them from doing it? I don't know. I don't really know what the effect is, because it's just like, sometimes to me, it's like your character is your character. Mm-hmm. So it's like some men look at women as objects.
Yeah.
Therefore, or even their object, to take it further. Therefore, it's like they don't think about consent. It's not even like a thought. It's not even like, I love this woman or I care about this person or it's not the energy. It's kind of like, I'm trying to get it.
Yeah.
I think also to that, what Sean was saying, to add to that, I think a lot of them, if it worked on this one, it should work on this one, this one, this one, or this one, mm-hmm. right? Where down the line, there's going to be that cutoff where they say no. And then it's like, what? Big muscular. I smell good. I look good. What are you telling me no for?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't really mean it. You know what I mean? And then things get out of control.
You're right. I can't speak for men as a whole. Even for me, though, I think how that's the only thing I can speak to. And for me, on this specific topic and how it's impacted me, I think I've always leaned towards guarding a woman's consent versus guarding my own consent, which is backwards when you say it out loud.
Explain that.
So for example, I was explaining this in one of my group chats the other day. I explained that when it comes to a situation that now I can feel sexual tension or there's an assumption of this is going down this road or this journey, I'll look at a situation and be like, you know what? I'm never going to be the one to lead it there. I'm going to let her do it. So that her consent is now my consent, instead of being the one to be the one asking the questions. Or the one to take the lead of like, hey, is this okay? And this okay?
You're going off of her frequencies. Right. Much.
You know what I'm saying? I'm always guarding her idea of what's okay and her letting her lead that versus even just because what's okay for her will be okay for me. Instead of actually just making that distinction that we're two individuals and what's okay for me is okay for me. And then what's okay for her is okay for her or vice versa. What's not okay for me is not okay for me. And what's not okay for her is not okay for her. I don't do it like that, right? I look at it, I'm going to safeguard whatever she's okay or not okay with, and then we'll move from that way. And I actually have never broken down as to why, until constructing this question and being like, yo, damn, do I even take my own consent into consideration, or am I just always about it because that's what a man's supposed to be?
I never thought about it like that.
Neither about it.
But now they say it, yeah, I'm always about whatever they're about. You know what I mean? I'll never forget this one experience I had. Remember I left, my lip was bleeding.
There's
scratches on my back. I think my eye was black. Went to practice the next day. The man, I'm like, what happened to you? I'm like, yo, guys, I don't even want to talk about it. She was rough with me, dog.
Damn.
But it's like, she asked if it was okay.
Thinking that, you know what I mean? And you just rolled it.
Yeah.
I did the same thing about hickeys. I don't like hickeys.
No.
But I felt like coming up, I was like,
can't say stop.
Can't say stop. Yeah. I'm going to ruin the mood. You know what I'm saying? Like, or no condom. That was kind of pushed on to me. Now I'm no condom gang. You know what I'm saying? It's nuts, man. I don't know how we got here, but that's what I'm saying. Like, when a girl is like, I found it to be now sexy when a girl's like, yo, take that off. We don't need to use that. I'm like, oh, shit, bet. But instead of being like safeguarding my own safety and be like, yo, I don't know what she's on.
I don't play that.
And I understand that. And I understand that, but that's what I mean. Like, it's never a thought. I don't really second guess my own consent, right? It's always like, okay, as long as she's okay, we're okay. And I don't know if that's a media thing or a projection of outside influence thing, or if it's just like I don't put me first in these situations. I don't know how that's gone or how it's gotten to this point is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm like you. I honestly, to be honest with you, I think it was also the fear of ever being put in a situation where somebody's like, oh, you forced yourself on me. Like, what? No, you led this whole thing. Yeah. This was not me. And I think a big contributing factor to this, when you're young, porn. Porn's one of those things. Like, when we're talking about consent, you watch a guy walk up to a girl and say, yo, you're coming with me. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And they get down to it. And so, like, as a kid, you don't know how to process that properly and really break it down. Like, yo, this is not how you operate with a female. Or, you know, how you talk to a girl and how you get to, like, where you're going if this is what you wanted to do. And I'm not saying that I faced that. I didn't really face that when I was younger, but I can see how that can get misconstrued with the younger generation or kids in general just watching that.
Absolutely.
When you say you never faced that, like, what do you mean? Like, face watching porn or face...
individual...
I brought it up, so I watch porn. I definitely watch porn before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I just think it's ironic. Go ahead.
No, I want to say something to... What did I want to say? It was about... even, like, there's two things there. But the consent thing, firstly. What's interesting, too, that I noticed, especially in, like, my encounters with women, if they wanted to be the ones to initiate sex, it would be expected...
That
I'm with it. No matter what. My belly could be hurt. My head could be hurting. It could be not working properly.
If you say no,
what's not working that? Properly?
That.
What's that? The viewers don't know what that
your
is.
Your partner.
My penis, brother. It's not a perfect option.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's not always working the way I want it to work. But it's expected to.
Yeah.
On demand.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work.
So many things come with it.
There's
that.
A problem.
Yeah.
Disrespect. They don't take rejection well.
No. Is it me?
What's wrong with you? What's going on? Are you a man? Like, it could go either way. It just turns into, it turns into such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yo, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works too quick. I can't predict it. It's not, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a villain in some story. you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always work the way you want it to, but it's like, again, back to hypersexualization. As a man, it's like, you're supposed to be bringing it.
Yeah.
And if you can't bring it, it's like, what are you? Are you even a man?
Yo, I have a question for you, T, specifically. I remember we were at your panel, at the November panel.
Yeah.
Movember. And how you were introduced was different than the other people were introduced. And there was another male on that panel as well. Two. The moderator, and then another gentleman. But you were introduced, I don't know if you guys remember this, but
I remember.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you were mentioned as like one of the better looking men that he's ever seen. It was a man that was introducing you. Better man that he's ever seen, almost to the degree of looking like a Greek goddess or God. Sorry, Greek, not goddess. Greek God. Everybody else got introduced for what they do or how special they were in different ways that did not involve
their appearance. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I know you even spoke on that Movember podcast or panel, sorry. And then you talked about the hypersexual responses or things that you get when it comes to your social media and how that kind of left you feeling empty. Can you kind of speak to that? I think this is one of those topics.
Yeah, like, I think you make a really good point. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but I've noticed this a lot, actually quite a few times. Like, a few panels I've been on, the men moderators have introduced me as, it's either, like, big, strong, handsome, Mr. Good-looking over there, what do you think? And it's like, sometimes I'm like, obviously when people think you look good, there are benefits to that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yo, it sucks to be introduced in this way. But like what I find also happens, there's a bad side to that. And it's like women talk about pretty privilege, but sometimes there's like a disadvantage. Just, with privilege, there's always a disadvantage.
Of course.
And I think like when I think of the disadvantages to this, sometimes it's like people don't take you serious. So now it's like they're thinking, oh, like, oh, he's just big and muscular and strong, but like he's not. He's not intellectual. You know, people I meet, they'll be like, oh, you're a lot smarter than I thought. What?
Backhand the compliment.
Yeah. Why? What do you mean, than you thought? Is it because, what did you think? Oh, I just thought you were, I don't know, showing your abs on social media.
Did you ever heard the saying, dumb as a dumbbell?
I've never heard that one.
Or knob, I've heard this dumb jock. I never heard.
So you're walking in all big and muscular and they're like, yeah, this guy's dumb. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what they think. And when you speak, they're like, oh shit, we messed up.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what happens to you a lot, right?
Yeah. People, they're surprised that I'm articulate. They're surprised I have something to say. But it's like, they're already in their mind. They're like, this guy don't have nothing to say. Also, I would notice even on social media, people would say things to me like, you got to choose whether you're going to be this shirt off guy or this mental health guy. You got to choose.
Damn.
I got to choose? I can't be both? No, people are not take you serious. But it's like, it's one of those things that it's not an easy thing to navigate because it's like part of you just wants to be yourself.
Yeah.
And obviously part of me being myself is taking my shirt off.
Yeah.
I just do. I work out. I work hard for my body. My dad would disagree. He says his jeans. But it sometimes becomes a thing where there is disadvantages to it. And it's like people will hyper focus on sometimes your flaws. Or when you think someone looks good, it's like you're already trying to figure out like what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that sometimes what can happen.
Damn, man. Shit. That's heavy. I'm not gonna lie. Like I said, I don't live that. You know what I mean? It's something obviously that you never look to the other side of. It's always like, yeah, nah, he's blessed because yeah, I just take his shirt off anytime you want, tattoo. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're presented to be this. Yeah, again, an archetype for what, you know, this Greek god, for example. Like you're pedestaled.
But it's like, you never heard the other saying, just easy on the eyes.
I think he said that too.
I think he said all of the things. So I'm sitting there like, damn. Like.
Question for you, Tashaun. Yeah. Do you ever feel like that keeps you in a box? Sorry, man.
You want to say
more? I was just going to say in the sense that like, you know what I mean? Obviously trying to be progressive and trying to move on with your life kind of, and like get to this, like holding you like to that gallus kind of thing. Do you ever feel like that's something that just kind of keeps you in that box? Like when we were doing these panels and they're like, oh, like you said, soft in the eyes, handsome, and they kind of like, that's like the bigger picture for you. And it's like urban planner and, you know, community activist. You know what I mean? Like that, it's not as loud, right?
Probably. I would say so. Like, I don't try to keep myself in a box, but I feel like, yeah, when people label me by, it's not even a title. It's just like how I look is the, it's the focal point of the message. It's like, it takes away from my message now. Now it's like, you guys not even listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I've seen it in content. Like, oh, I was just looking at your abs. I didn't hear what you were saying. Also, it's like, yeah, like people struggle to take you seriously and try to find flaws in you. Or even like in working relationships, I've noticed like a lot of situations where I meet women who are colleagues and we try to do business or work or collaborate on something. it becomes, it always like has this thing where it becomes something more than I ever intended.
Yeah.
Where it's like, now I feel like they feel some kind of like romantic, they're like, they're romanticizing me and being like, oh, like maybe me and this guy could be something. And now if I don't act on that, mm-hmm. now we have an issue. I'll say, oh, forget this guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been in a lot of situations where it's like, yeah, like I'm trying to like work with a woman. And if I only see them as somebody to work with, it's like the relationship sours because they potentially saw more. And that's happened to me a lot of times. And I'd like, I'll take responsibility for like, there's times where I...
you play into it.
I play into it. Absolutely. Right? So I do play into it. And in a lot of situations, I do have responsibility in it. And not just being like, yo, it's not like, it's not that. But there are situations where I've been like, listen, like I'm not looking for anything. I don't want anything. Like I'm not interested. I just want to keep this business. And they're still not hearing me.
What positive changes do you guys think that could be made within our, the media and our culture to help redefine what masculinity is in a healthier and more inclusive ways? Loaded, I know, but you know, if you guys have any suggestions towards that?
I think like when we had Matthew R. Morris on our podcast, he kind of spoke to this a little bit. He kind of said like showing a range of different men, different types of men. Right. So it's like, it's not always the big, strong D's guy that ends up with the girl. Maybe it is the pudgy guy.
The what guy?
Pudgy. But like the funny guy. He's pudgy. He's funny. Maybe he ends up.
The skinny nerd guy. The skinny nerd guy grows up to make billions, own a company, CEO, whatever the case is. We just show a different range. I agree.
Yeah. I think we just got to tell different stories. And show a different narrative than it always being this, like, dickhead with money, muscles, and cars getting everything. We just gotta show it. I think, to me, like, we just gotta show other narratives, tell other stories.
To add to that, I think a narrative, like, you know, when kids grow up and see love, like, and they have two-parent households, that reshapes how you look at things. You don't see your parents coming in with different guys, different girls. You know what I mean? Like you, this is what you see. And like, that's what you aspire to have. You know what I mean? You don't see them trying to go get ready and going on this date and that date. And I think that's something that definitely plays into it because now you're like, okay, this is how my life has to go kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But where you used to see you're exposed to love early, I think kind of you'd seek love as opposed to seeking validation, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
He makes a really good point. What came into my head from what Theon's saying too is that even just like the idea of like loving on a woman, I can't see like when I think about growing up, I don't feel like we were ever exposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it wasn't doing too much or you're a simp or you're like, for you to like take a woman out and be like, I love you and bring her flowers and do all this. Like, I feel like in my high school era, it's like, I was like, no, they got to do that for me. Like, I'm not doing that. What do you think this is? I'm not doing all that. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, man's were trying to do that
to get the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like you're competing to see who could do the least to get the girl.
Absolutely.
Not who could do the most.
Yeah.
But it's like, it makes you think, like, that's not love.
Yeah.
And the girl you had a crush on in high school, like, did we do the most for those girls? I didn't.
Did what we could.
I don't even know if we did what we could.
I find out I changed off a quarter game, brother. I go get you some candy. You know what I'm saying?
Not in my your slice. That ain't working.
Nah?
Yeah, you gotta have some change to talk to those girls in my high school.
That's probably why I got took.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe with the Honda hatchback, pull it up.
I never had a hatchback. I got a four-door, you know?
Steel cord?
Yeah, it wasn't good enough. They were in some Audis, Benz, and, you know, in grade 10, 11, going in grade 10, 11, yeah. Like, you know, pulling up in the big bodies.
Even look at that. Look what we have to do.
You know what I'm saying? But you have to, so, like Deshaun's saying, you didn't have to do the most. Nah, I felt like you had to do the most because we're competing with, I went to a white high school, so. Yeah. You know, I'm competing with mans that actually have one.
Yeah.
So I got to come with some lyrics.
Yeah.
yo, you can't talk to you where I can talk to you. You know what I'm saying? You can't play ball the way I play ball. Yeah. We don't need to play no ball. Homie, pull up in the Mercedes. Yo, hop in. Bye, Terrell. You know, you get the text, I'll see you later. Yeah. You know, I get it, bro. I get it. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
I hear him, though. I used to hate those guys, the 20-year-olds that pull up with the souped-up suits.
I was
at the high school.
I was hating.
That's what I'm saying. You don't think you were doing the most. You were doing the most if you don't think about it. You're competing with those guys.
Like I said, I did what I could.
You know, $5 check. We're working where I work for them. But you were doing the most. But if you really think about it, you might not say, oh, you were getting flowers, you were buying candy, you were doing this. But you were putting in more work in the texting, in the calling, and trying to see them in between classes. While man will just pull up after school or before school, dropping them off. And like, how you dropping her off at an 8 a.m.? Big man, he's putting in work too. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You might not think so, but you might have been, and you might not even realize.
Not romantic work, though.
We did the most. We did some road trips.
The most is that we put in time. But it wasn't like, baby, I love you.
Yeah.
Singing songs.
Promposals or none of that stuff. None of that, yeah.
We weren't doing like romantic stuff. Like I felt like that was some sucker shit.
Not in our culture. Because I did see promposals, bro. I'm all ID. Now that you bring that up, I did see just not black.
In high school?
Yes. Just not black people. Not in our culture. Our culture? Yo, but I used to be with the gang. Yo, we see your man. Doing all that, bro. What? Yeah, dog. It's true. Yeah, bro. I'm doing all that. Yeah. Posters and... Show you, bro. She knows. She knows.
She knows. She knows we're going to prom.
Yeah, she knows what it is. Yeah, like, you see what I'm saying? I don't have to do all that. Why would I do it all that for? What?
So you know where her locker is. You're just gonna go buck her whenever you're not watching.
I'm here when she's ready, brother. I'm at the locker. Ready.
That's what I'm trying.
My stuff's in there.
Sean, you didn't know where any of the lockers were.
Course.
You were putting in work, brother. I mean, you might not think about it, but it's all these. You see, you're getting confused by the media, big man. But you were putting in all this work and you're not even realizing
it. Wasn't, Frank, I'm saying it was work, but it wasn't romantic.
Yes, I know, but it might not be romantic. Hold on, it might not be romantic to you, but pulling up to a girl's locker when you're not expecting it, that's romantic to her.
Yeah. Maybe.
He was doing the bare minimum, but it was framed in a way that girls could perceive it like, okay.
To reel it all back in, though, we're going to what Theon said. If you're in the household with two-parent household and they're showing what love is, you pulling about her locker unexpected is not standard.
That's the real watching them.
That's what Theon said. Theon's, we're leading in, we're looking at, we're not even taking in these outside influences and factors. We're looking at the situation. Yo, my mom, my dad are the standard of what love is. That's how I'm going to portray love for the rest of my journey towards. So I'm saying,
I can argue that, but I'm not going to
argue it.
No, I'm not going to, because then it's gonna go back and forth. Because
your point is valid.
I know it's valid, but what I'm trying to say is we could go back and forth on that, because it's gonna be like everybody looks at love differently, right? So your definition of love could be different from somebody else's definition of love. It's not the same type of love, but how do you know? Because we don't have a two parent household that you know what I'm saying. So, like, that's what I'm saying. We can go back and forth on that, but that's not
the prototypical.
Yeah, no, definitely, I understand. But I'm just saying, like, reshaping it in the sense that, like, you know what I mean? Your kids growing up seeing, you know, your dad hug your mom or kiss your mom, and you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even have to be those kind of acts. Like, you coming home for your wife and bringing her flowers or the Starbucks that she likes. You know what I mean? That's an act of love that these kids... Like, I didn't grow up seeing that.
Absolutely not.
You know what I mean? And, like, that's where my skewed vision could have came from, where I'm like, I don't know how to love on somebody. This is, and then growing up, being taught, like, be a gallus and all this stuff, that's how my image of what love is, I didn't know.
Yeah.
My image was bare minimum. And it's like, to me, when I'm saying bare minimum, it's like, you know, like, back in the day, your parents were, you know, I love you. You have a house, you have a roof over your head. Like,
bare minimum.
That to me is like bare minimum love. Like, yeah, but like,
you're gonna do this anyways. You had to live somewhere.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it.
You gotta live somewhere, bro.
Like, you gotta
live here too. Don't try to blame me.
You're gonna live somewhere. Like,
you pull up to the lockers, your locker too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Bare minimum.
I hear you.
But it's like, were we really going out of our way?
Nah. I give you $2, you'll get a slice. Now that's my crust. It's bare minimum, brother.
You see what I'm saying? Like, even us driving to Kitchener.
I would say so too at my time.
You love that pizza too, right? Yeah. You love that pizza too. But you were, you know, because I love you, I'm going to give you the pizza, I'm going to eat the crust. That's love. That is love.
That's why I said, I do what I can do. Two out of that $5, I just won a quarters, you know.
You gave her half.
Come on.
That's love.
I give her all his love.
Nah, I'm hungry, cuz. Gotta eat. But yeah, you know, I felt like this type of topic was really, really important to kind of reel it all in. I just wanted to, you know, talk with the guys, kind of open our eyes to things that we may not always discuss, especially on the right side of things or things that we see it, and kind of break down the toxic barrier. So I thought this hypersexualization topic was really, really important, you know.
You guys opened my eyes. I could definitely tell you that, you know, listening to you guys speak, hearing different things, and, you know, seen a lot of different things and heard a lot of different things today. So,
bro, important. I hope you guys learned something out there too, man. But Deshaun, talk to us. What's this game saying, bro?
Let's talk about it. We ever played this? Have we played this to us four in a?
Nah, we always
played this in a minute.
Yeah.
So this is to get men having deeper conversations. Feel like as men, sometimes we don't talk about stuff. So yeah, let's talk about it. Blue is middle, white is surface, and black is deep.
All right, who wants to choose? Deshaun?
Don't do black. We're always doing black, or somebody's always doing black. Yeah, let's
do a middle
blue. Let's hear something. Why are you so itch? This guy was itching. My house jumped out the seat and everything. Almost tripped.
All right. What would you want to give your family that is different than you had, than what you had growing up? What would you want to give your family that's different than what you had growing up? Oh, that's the room.
I think a big one is like all of us getting that life insurance. Mm. You know what I mean? Like if anything was to ever happen to me, I make sure that my family is good. I don't want to look at it as a gift because you know what I mean? If you lose me, whatever.
It is.
But, you know what I mean? Still making sure that they're
taken care of
if something was to happen to me. And then, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that, brother. What's your discount code?
We'll talk about it after.
I want to give. Love, the like you were saying actually earlier, the two parent kind of love. Just making sure that whatever situation I get, I know I can't control that, but I do what I can to, in my power anyway, at least to control what I can to lead us to the idea of having two parents there that are showing love, and it's outward, you know, not something that's hidden, not something that she knows she loves me or she knows I love her, or you know, it's one of those things that has to be displayed. I feel like just for the healthy growth of my lineage, even, you know, just something for, God willing, my son or my daughter to see growing up, so they know that, you know, I have something to view to now put forth and focus on in their journey towards finding a partner and love and whatever they choose, but that they've seen positivity within love.
It's funny because I was thinking the same thing, but it's not like give them love. It was more of mine was like what Sean says when he like, you know, it was like the bare minimum of like, you see this warrior out? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, saying I love you. You know, you see the food on the table? But yeah, you tell me you love me. You know, so it's like even when you're growing up, I don't know in your guys' household, but I didn't really hear I love you.
Nah.
You know, I don't know if it's a Caribbean thing or whatever, but like, you know, I didn't really hear that. So it's like with my kids now, every time I leave the house, I try to tell them I love them.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a cold world out here. You don't know if you're coming home. I always try to make it home, but the last thing they want to hear is that, oh, my dad left the house. He said, I love you. So I try to, I don't tell none of you guys that. You guys know that. So when I see my kids, I always try to tell them I love you. So,
thank you, bro.
Love you, bro.
Same.
Hard, eh?
Hmm?
Hard to say, huh?
What?
I love you.
Same.
Not even say I love you.
Yeah.
For me, I think mine was similar to both of you guys. But it's also like, I think where my head went was like unity.
Mm.
It was like that love, but like feeling like your family is like united. I feel like growing up, it felt like everybody was doing their own thing. And my dad doing his own thing. My mom's doing her own thing. My grandparents doing their own thing. I have family in the States, a family in Antique. Like everybody's just all over the place doing their own thing. But it wasn't, I never had that feeling of like, this is family. I feel like I had everybody in these like different pockets. So for me, it'd be like that feeling of like unity where it's like, we are a family. We do things together. We spend holidays together. We, like you feel like you have like people behind you. And if not people, you have me and your mom. If it's my kids or your mom has me and the kids, like everybody feels like they have, we're one.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I grew up with that feeling. I kind of grew up feeling like, yeah, everything was kind of just, I was bouncing from place to place, which I think is why it makes it so easy for me to move from place to place.
Mm.
Because I didn't really have that feeling of like my family's here. Even right now, I don't have any family in Toronto, really.
Yeah, bus.
Yeah, gang.
We don't count.
Right now you're in the window. You can't say that.
You don't even love me, bro.
Sorry, go ahead.
What were you gonna say?
It's funny that you were saying you mentioned that. Like that was something that actually came to my mind too. Tradition. You know what I mean? Like, not to say that I didn't really have it, like, but we did bounce around and it wasn't every all together. And like I look at my kids and my nephews and I'm like, growing up, I want them to Christmas Day. I remember like going to my family's house in Ottawa and like all the kids being downstairs in the basement till we all passed out.
Yes.
And wake up and you smell breakfast. Like I want my kids to have tradition where they know that we're always together on XYZ, whatever it is.
Yeah, bro.
You guys ever, so I went to a trip in Jamaica a little 2 years ago, 2023. And I seen a family of like, I want to say 40 odd people all wearing white t-shirts saying such and such family reunion.
Yeah.
Fam. So like that's the image I saw when you said now family in the States, family, because I have that. I can't recall the time that I've seen everybody all together in one place, like a family reunion. But that's a tradition that goes on in the States amongst Black people. That's a tradition that goes on with Caribbeans in different places. Like you know what I'm saying? So for me, I never seen it. And that's, I think I'd like to steal that from you too. I'd love to have that for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
I have a question for you guys off here.
Off here?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Why you do that?
You could wait for us.
Nah, because I want you guys to remind me.
Okay.
If it's good, I bring it back here. But yeah, man, you know, that concludes another one. Anything to promote from any of us? So we don't do that.
Promote our live podcast that's going to be coming up. Sean, take it away.
Live podcast event. Stay tuned. Come Thursday, June 5th. Location, TBD.
Hey.
You already know.
You guys aren't even ready, though. TDT Security. .com Barber Services. My State You. Yo, brother, don't look at me. Look at them. Tell them, bro. My State You, Dad. You too, Larry. You know what I mean? We have mad things to promote, fam. But yeah, from again, you know, another installment from us to you. Please do like, comment, subscribe. Don't forget. I got you guys.
We out.
Be safe.